Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. Get ready for the SmackDown!
Winter camp is among us already. And you'd be saying, fall is not here yet. Why are we talking about winter? We're talking about it because it's coming up quick. We are so excited. For those of you who have joined us in the last year and you're like, what is winter camp? Why are all these crazy people screaming? It is one of the two highlights of the year. First highlight, mission trip. Second highlight, winter camp. I am telling you, this is an amazing opportunity to just go so much deeper in your walk with Jesus. There's crazy competitions. There is all kinds of amazing speakers that come to this thing. Worship that will blow your socks off. So just don't wear socks. I'll just tell you that. The epic tubing hill. It's something of a legend. It is amazing. There truly is no camp like winter camp. So October 14th, we will have your applications out so you can apply. Make sure you do this, and it's not just for our youth group. This is for your friends as well. So invite your friends to come to winter camp. It's going to be amazing. Truly awesome. So with that being said, we have been in a series called Live Dead, and it feels really good for me to be back up here. The last couple weeks, we have had some guest speakers. And if you guys think back, we had Elliot from the Live Dead Cairo, Egypt team came and challenged you about a central theme of Live Dead, about abiding in Jesus. Carl Hayes from North Point came with all kinds of free stuff. He just wanted to throw stuff at you guys. I'm pretty sure that's, no, not really. He wanted to bless you guys, and he challenged us to go into all of the world, to step into the calling that Jesus has given all of us as followers. And now the Live Dead movement, the whole thing is centralized on the idea in the concept of remaining in Jesus, being completely sold out to him and what he has for your life. It's living dead to your own desires so Jesus can use you fully. So we're going to dive in to this in just a moment. There are four scriptures, though, that you need to know for tonight. So all of you people taking notes, you want to write these down. The first one is John 15, verses 4 through 5. John 15, verses 4 through 5. Y'all got it written down? All right, cool. It says, "Remain in me, and I will also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Powerful words of Jesus reminding us to abide in him. Next one, you guys ready? Everybody writing, you got your pens, you're like, come on. Mark 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15, you guys got this? Some of you are staring at me because I'm not wearing black. You're like, who's this guy? I've had a couple of you comment on that. You're like, you look funny tonight. Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." You guys remember this from last week? Carl Hayes bringing it. All right. Ready for the next one? Are you excited for the next one? Scream if you love Jesus. Come on. There it is. John 12, 24. Text verse for the whole Live Dead theme that we are going with here. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I want to touch on that for a second. So we were at, Elliot, the missionary that was here, we were at his house last night. And they made like all this amazing food. And I noticed in the salad, there was like sunflower seeds. And I'm like, oh, cool. But there wasn't enough on mine. So they had like this like looked like a sunflower seed grinder, but I've never seen anything like it. So I'm like taking spoonfuls out and like putting it in my salad. And I'm realizing that these sunflower seeds are a lot smaller. They're like a third of the size of like a regular sunflower seed. And I'm like, Come to find out, I'm like eating my salad. They're like really crunchy. They were actually little pieces of, like, wheat kernel that they used to grind up and make wheat bread. And then I just felt totally stupid, so I just ate it anyways and didn't say anything. But I was amazed at how small they were. And Jesus used that idea, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Like Carl Hayes said, it's not the elephant that fell into the world and died. It was the rabbit that made the bigger impact. For those of you going, what? Get on podcast. It's all up on there. It'll totally make sense. But that small little seed of wheat makes a huge impact, produces a huge fruit. Just blew my mind. Are you ready for the next one? Next scripture? Ready? You guys look ready. You ready? Okay. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Does anybody know this offhand? Can somebody like quote this? Quizzers, where are you at? Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Chase, you got it? You got it? Yeah? No? Yeah? No? 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 Come on! It's the Great Commission, guys. This is central to what we do here at Rage. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love what the King James says. It says, and lo, I am with you always until the very end of the age. God's promise to be with us to the end of time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this great group of young people who are here, who are excited for your word, who want to meet with you. Lord, help us to just understand more of what it means to live dead to ourselves so we can live alive in you. Help us to abide in you, Lord, and help us to just understand what it is you want to speak to us tonight. Father, help me to communicate the word that you have placed on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, this is a night of videos. I have another one I want you to check out.
Listen to me. Like I do this all the time. And if I go at the house with the girl, Matthew has his toys. And then Matthew has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, listen, Linda. Listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
No, but listen to me. Okay, if we do something, if you get that out, that birthday off, you're going to break it.
Okay. But I'm asking, I'm letting you know that you cannot, no, I'm, you're not listening to me. Listen to me now.
Listen to me
now. No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma. Didn't you?
Linda, lick it. If we do something without this, if we get clothes, you can't even get them. You can burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? You and Kevin don't listen. So I have to give both of you guys papas in your butt.
But Linda, but Grandpa's going to give me papas in the butt.
No, he's not. I have to. You don't want me to hit Kevin or you don't want him to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
And then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little papa.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if we can't get everything out of the wall. If we're going to break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Linda, like this thing, I never belong to you. Anything, you can't get anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm done arguing with you.
You need to listen to the things that I say because I'm the mom and I'm the adult.
Listen to me. I was just trying to get them this stink.
I'm arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
Oh my goodness. The first time I ever seen that video, I didn't know if I should laugh or if I should just be really offended. And the more I see it, it just really, really, really annoys me. The kid's humorous, but he's so obnoxious and just like rude and disrespectful. I'm like, come on, kid, what is up with you? Like, I'm gonna lock you in the basement. I don't know. He gets under my skin. And it was funny as I was like praying over this message and Lord, what is it you want to share with this amazing group of young people? A lot of times when God speaks to me, it's not like this whole master plan. Okay, you guys can probably relate. It's like do this one thing and then it doesn't make any sense. And so you just do it and then all of a sudden it makes total sense. So I'm watching this video because I'm sitting in my office and he says, I want you to go to YouTube and I want you to type in, listen, Linda. And I knew, I'm like, I don't want to watch this annoying kid. So I load up this video, and I'm halfway through, and it's the part where the mom's like, I'm done arguing with you. And I hear God say, this video is how I see my children a lot of times. I've asked them to do something, I've commanded them, and they sit here and they argue with me. They don't listen to me, and they try to do things counteractive to what I want to do. He says, this is how I see people who say they're fully committed, but yet they spend more time in their prayer trying to change my mind than they do about, Lord, open up doors for me to fulfill what I've asked them to do. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, man. You know, I think a lot of times we talk a big game. We say we're all in. We say, Lord, use us. But when it comes down to it, maybe not so much. Maybe we say, listen, God, listen. Listen, Lord, I want my cupcakes, okay? I want my cupcakes. You told me I couldn't have my cupcakes, but I want my cupcakes. Look at the person next to you and say, you can't have the cupcakes. All right. You remember that. You can't have the cupcakes. No cupcakes. God doesn't have any problem with cupcakes. Just don't do it in excess because you end up with diabetes. So that's no fun. What I want you guys to get tonight, keep that video in the back of your mind. And when you're praying, I want you to honestly pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord. Do whatever you want in me. That's the heart of Live Dad. Lord, use me for whatever. We just talked about this with a cadre, a whatever calling on your life. That looks like, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask of me. Because the whole Live Dad movement is not about living the way that we think we should live. But it's about living for the king and for his kingdom. It's about the king's purposes. You know, we as people, we talk a lot. But where our actions are, that shows us where our heart really is. And so we can say, Lord, I'm all in. Lord, I'll live dead for you. But if our actions don't begin to align with that, we end up with a disconnect. I don't want to be a disconnected half follower. I want to be all in. I want to give God everything. So I think it's time that we just quit talking about it and we just begin doing it. We jump into this thing. We say, Lord, you have all of me. And it's time for you to rise up. It's time for you to decide to live dead and to go. To go and step into what God has called you to do. So the question is, how do you move in something from words to action? How do you move from word to action? In other words, as a follower of Jesus, how do you begin to live dead? How do you begin to live dead? There's four things going through the Live Dead movement and just studying scriptures that have really popped out to me. Four things that I believe if you do these in your life, they're going to help you abide in the Lord so much more. We'll get to what abide means in just a minute. The first thing, number one, is to commit. It means just do it. Quit talking about it and do it. Because when you make a commitment, you are literally dedicating yourself to something, to someone, or to a task. Commit to it. Commit to it. You take it so much more seriously. See, when I would talk about, you know, finishing a few classes for whatever, or, you know, buying a different vehicle, or, you know, for me, I don't like buying new clothes because I'm cheap and I hate how much you pay for clothes. My mom ruined me on this because she used to work at Kohl's. And she'd be like, do you know how much they make on a shirt?
And I'm like, do I want to know? And she's like, well, I'm going to tell you. Shirt costs them about 75 cents to make, and they sell it for 15 bucks. And I'm going, I never want to buy clothes again. I mean, I'll wear clothes, but I don't want to buy brand new clothes. So I go straight to the clearance rack now. Go straight to the clearance rack. I don't remember where I was going with all this, but that's okay. When you commit to something, when you commit to it, you take it so much more seriously. So when I go into a store and I commit, I am not going to pay 15 bucks for a shirt. I go straight to the clearance rack because I want to save money. I want to be a good steward of what God gave me. I know the profit margin there. And if that means not having designer clothes, so be it. Who cares? I'm not here to please other people. And some of us think, you know, well, I just haven't committed. I haven't made a decision. By not making a decision, you've already committed. You've committed to do nothing. You've committed to stay where you are, to stay complacent. Think about it like this. You can talk about playing football, or you can commit. You can sign up. You can begin training. You can start lifting weights. You can exercise. You can get ready for football season. There's a difference. You can talk about wanting to come to Rage every week or come to do something outreaches or go on missions trips, but it's a whole different ball game when you commit to it, and nothing will change until you commit to do it. First thing you want to do if you want to live dead, commit to serve Jesus. Commit just to live and abide in him. Number two, just said it, abide. And you're going, well, you keep saying that word. Abiding in Jesus ultimately comes down to three different areas. It's obedience, it's prayer, and it's choosing to serve Jesus above all else. So obedience, prayer, choosing to serve Jesus. Because when you abide in Jesus, you live out, live dead. So abide means to remain in, to trust in, to hope in, to continue without losing, fading, or letting up. So when you abide in Jesus, you're saying, I will remain in Jesus. I will trust in Jesus. My hope will be in Jesus. I will continue in a relationship with Jesus without it losing ground, without it fading out, without it letting up. It's not backing off. It's going deeper. It's going harder. So how do you abide? Those three things I began in the beginning of this. We talk about prayer, obedience, and serving. First thing with prayer, this roots you deeper in Jesus. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. If you're not praying, you're not hitting a central point of communication with Jesus. You cannot abide in Jesus without prayer. Just like you can't have a friend who you never talk to. You're never going to get to know them more. You even think of people who aren't able to speak. They have sign language to still be able to communicate. Communication is critical, and prayer moves the heart of the King. You want to abide in Jesus, begin to pray. Second thing is obedience. Obedience to what Jesus asks you to do gets you outside of yourself because your calling has never been about you. The things that Jesus has asked you to do aren't about you. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. Why? Because he's king. You're not king. He is. You're created to serve the king, and he was gracious enough to offer his very life for you because he loved you so much, so he could have a relationship with you, so he could give you a calling to advance his kingdom, so he could give you a purpose to advance his kingdom. Your calling is not about you. See, if you're not listening to the things that Jesus commands in his word, and you're trying to justify decisions, that shows you're not abiding. What you're doing is you're self-promoting your agenda. You're like the little brat who wants cupcakes for dinner. You're saying, listen, God, listen. Listen, I think it should be this way. And he's saying, I'm all powerful. I'm all authoritative. I'm not even bound by time. And you're trying to tell me that you know better? And your vapor spoof of life? I created you. See, following Jesus requires us just to simply do what he asks. To do what he asks. Honestly, God doesn't owe us anything. But we owe him everything because of the sacrifice he did on the cross. Last part of abiding here, you abide by serving. You choose to serve Jesus above all else. This could look like getting connected in your church. There's a lot of needs that every local church body has to be filled. It's reaching out to your friends. It's being involved in your school campus. Serving. See, your heart, if you're a true follower of Jesus, is to serve the King. Your love for God will naturally begin to turn into a love for people that's manifested in outreach. You'll be compelled by the heart of the King just to love those around you. And all of these three things above require daily time to be spent with Jesus. You want to abide? Begin by spending daily time with Jesus. Commit to doing it. Pray that God will help you, that He'll give you His heart, and that He'll open up doors for you to be able to serve Him in His kingdom. Number three, you ready for this? Y'all taking notes, look really excited. You guys are ready? Okay. Number three, seize the opportunities. So when God shows you a way to serve, do it. Go back to the first one, commit to it. See, you can't sit back in life and just expect to live dead. It takes some effort. And there are opportunities right now, because you might be saying, oh, I just don't know, God really hasn't opened up any doors for me. That's a load of crap, okay? There are opportunities all around you to live dead, to help you abide in Jesus. Do something outreaches. It gets you beyond yourself. It gets you out of your house, out of the familiar, and you begin to focus on those who maybe don't have things as good as you do. This will be the light offering. We take one every week. This challenges you to be sacrificial, to support missions, to contribute to something larger than yourself. And it's a simple offering. I remember last year I said with a youth group our size, if every person gave $2 a week, we would raise over $7,000 for Speed the Light. That's a very small offering. That does not mean to get legalistic and only bring $2. But if everybody would participate in the kingdom, be so much further. But we find a lot of people are pulling the weight for those who aren't doing anything. The average church, they say 10% of the people are actually involved in something while the other 90% sit around, and that's not okay. That's not how God's math works. It should be the other way around. It should be 90% involved, and the other 10% just got saved, and we're teaching them how to get involved. That's how it should be. Connection groups, amazing opportunity. Next Wednesday, we have connection groups. Here in Rage, we get you guys into these discussion groups based off of your age and your grade, and they are totally amazing because they build community, they build growth, they take you deeper into the content of what we talk about here. But we also have the third Sunday of every month that we've started up where we meet outside of Rage and do some totally awesome things to help you build community. These are amazing opportunities for you guys to connect more and just to go so much deeper. Holy Ghost Reborn is coming up October 9th. You could not get more of a golden opportunity than this to bring saved and unsaved friends and to literally have a front row seat to watch miracles happen. You couldn't have a better opportunity. Don't waste it. Mission trips, we do them every year here. This year we'll have two of them. They challenge you to live dead, to trust God, to grow, to be stretched, and to advance the kingdom. Even winter camp. A lot of you guys are like, yeah, winter camp. I want you to view it more than just a winter camp. I want you to view it as a critical investment into your spiritual growth. No fire stays burning without keep stoking the fire. Winter camp is throwing gasoline on the fire, okay? It is amazing for your spiritual growth. You have opportunities all around you right now to help you live out, live dead, to help you abide in Christ. Take advantage of them. Use them. Commit to them. Number four, you guys ready? Four? Yep, all right. Number four, go all in. Go all in. Just hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. We see some of the most influential people who have ever graced the face of this earth just didn't hold anything back. They were passionate. They were sold out for their cause. You know, I get really teary-eyed and choked up over missionaries. It's really close to my heart. When I hear stories of people who have given everything, it stirs something inside of me because I believe it stirs God's heart. A few weeks ago, I mentioned Jim Elliott and his team, who only really actually had 5 days of interaction with the people group before they murdered them. And then his family, his widow, and his daughter. the wives and children of these team members who were brutally murdered in a Central American jungle go and live amongst these people. And they live in forgiveness, and they tell them who Jesus is. And you see people get saved. Gave up everything, though. Jim Elliott, 28 years old, he was my age when he laid down his life. Gave everything for the kingdom. It messes with me every time. Think of David Livingston, who's a missionary to Africa. One of his main verses we mention is in the Great Commission. He says, I am with you always. He lived off of this verse. His body had been just wrecked from so many bouts of malaria, trying to reach an unreached people group, that it required medicine to stay alive. He had been maimed by a lion. Had a hard, hard life. And at the end of it, they found him dead, slumped over his chair in a kneeling position with his Bible opened up to the Great Commission. And in the corner, he wrote right next to the Great Commission, for I am with you always, the words of a gentleman. The words of Jesus are what gave him the strength to get through 30 bouts of malaria, to get through being mauled by a lion, to survive the sun in the place that he lived in that turned his skin almost to leather. And on his deathbed, kneeled over a chair, he died praying for the very people who he had given everything for, interceding for them. I am with you always. John York, another missionary to Nigeria, in referring to the Great Commission, if you remember in the beginning, I said the King James Version says, lo, I will be with you always. He was quoted as saying, there is no lo without go. You want to abide in Jesus, then go. Step into the calling. And when asked about that saying, he said, it goes like this. First, we are called to Jesus. We're called to him. He saves us. And then we go. You want to remain with Jesus, step into the calling he has for your life. The calling to go into all of the world, to preach the gospel to all people. Don't let up until all people have heard. You know, often we say the prayer, Lord, should I go? The thing is he's already sent you. He's already sent you. Step out in faith and just do it. If it's not the Lord's will for you, it will become abundantly clear. Instead, I would challenge you to pray, Lord, make a way for me. A couple years ago, I so badly wanted to go on this missions trip. It was to Nepal. And the cost was just really, really way higher than we had for money. And I was like, Lord's going to make a way. Lord's going to make a way. I'm like, I'm going to go. And every door started to close on this trip. And I realized God didn't want me to go. This trip wasn't meant for me, but I was willing to. Lord, I'll go. I'll do it. I'll go. But then another trip, the first time I ever went to Atlanta, the door opened for me because I said, Lord, I'll go. And every door opened up and he made a way. Why? Because he had already called me to go. If he wants you there, he will make a way. But you need to be first willing to go. You need to be first willing to do it. I want you to get this. Everybody in this room is called to missions. I'm not saying you are to give up your life and be a missionary. If God calls you to do that, yes, do it. Because the greatest calling you can ever have in your life is where God wants you right now. Because that's what he's asked you to do. Some of you, I believe he has called as missionaries. Some of you, I believe he has called as pastors. Others, I have believed he has called you into career paths that will allow you to do missions trips. And that's the rest of you, because all of us are called to missions. All of us are called to support it. All of us are called to reach the lost around us. No matter where you are in a missions field. You are to go out and to change this world. You are called to go. Now at Rage, we always have a lot of really good opportunities for you to participate in that calling of go. I mentioned some of them earlier, do something, and this Holy Ghost outreach that we're combining with that. Winter camp is an amazing way to invite your friends. Even if they're not saved, invite them. Because we see God do some powerful things at the altars. You know, and if you're too young to, you know, hit a missions trip with us this year, that's fine, because do something does not have an age restriction, and that equips you. At Rage, we're about equipping you to do what God has called you to do. Whatever we can do, to aid the calling God has placed in your life, we will. But we also do take trips every year. So last year we did a domestic trip. Every other year we do overseas and domestic. We will be announcing at a later time, so stay tuned. Come every week so you won't want to miss it. We'll be announcing our domestic trip. But our overseas trip for this year, I believe, the question isn't, should I go? We don't ask God, God, should I go to the movies? Well, let me pray about this. Like praying for weeks, Lord, should I go to the, you know, Age of Ultron premiere? Lord, what should I do? Do you want me there, Lord? But it's kind of expensive. It's, you know, $10, and then if I get popcorn, it's $15. And if I get a drink, it's like $17.50, and it's a lot of money. Lord, do you want me to go to school 10 minutes early and pray over the lockers? God, do you want me to hang out with that friend? Do you want me to send that text message? We don't pray that way for normal things in life, so why do we do it for missions trips? God has already called you to go. He's already called you to go. The prayer should be, Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. I'm going to give everything I can to get on this trip. And if you don't want me there, make it abundantly clear, but I'm going. Unless you just tie me down to a chair and make me stay here. You commit. You abide. You go after it. You say, Lord, I am all in on this thing. So for those of you who are saying, man, this should be all of you, God has called me to go. The altar call is simple tonight. I want you to respond by just hearing me out. In the overseas trip that we have, we are taking a trip this year in June all the way down to Central America to a little country called El Salvador. Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.